Coming to you from the Armed American Radio Studios on Peachtree Street in downtown Atlanta, this is Armed American Radio. Here is Mark Walters.
We're back, Sean. I love it.
I love it, too.
And I'm looking at you, and that's fun, too. Ladies and gentlemen, you can watch us. We'll give you information on where you can actually watch the feed and see Sean laughing in the background there. It's kind of fun. Eventually, we'll have a split screen where both of us will be visible to you, and you can tune in. And when we get that ready to roll, we'll publish that, publicize that across the country, Sean.
Yes, we will.
Well, we're actually doing that right now, but we'll put it in print, we'll put it in the web, and we'll get it out there, and we'll tweet it, and we'll Facebook it, and everything else, right?
Yes, and MySpace it, even though most people don't use MySpace anymore.
My who? What?
MySpace.
Oh, I thought, oh, I don't, okay. Oh. Folks, you're on the Armed American Radio Network. I'm your host, Mark Walters. Check this out. www.jointheuscca.com. USCCA being the United States Concealed Carry Association. Have you made a decision to carry a firearm for your personal defense? If you haven't, why not? Exercise your God-given rights to keep and bear arms. Just like the Constitution says, just like the Supreme Court has upheld. Oh, and speaking of the Supreme Court upholding that, guess what, Sean?
What?
Well, I know you know this already, but guess who's online too?
Who?
The brilliant young attorney who recently won the McDonald versus Chicago gun ban case, Alan Gurin. We're going to go to him in just a couple minutes. Hang tight. First, let's give out some phone numbers. If you want to participate, if you have a question for this man, who has dedicated himself to fighting for your rights across the country. And I want to get his opinion on some of my thoughts on Chicago, too. Agree or disagree. 877-956-9566. 877-956-9566. Or mark@armedamericanradio.org. mark@armedamericanradio.org. Brings you into the computers. And twitter.com/AARmark makes your voice heard on Armed American Radio. Also joining us and sticking around, kind enough to do so, and he's going to chime in on the conversation, is Mr. Caleb Giddings. Caleb Giddings is the proprietor, I should say, of GunNutsRadio.com. You got to love that. Gun Nuts Radio, very successful website and podcast. We'll talk with him about that. And he's also a competitor on the History Channel's Top Shot, and that is pretty cool. But first, let's go to Alan Gura. Alan Gura, welcome back to Armed American Radio, my friend.
Thanks for having me again.
Oh, man. Hey, always a pleasure. I had a great time meeting you up in New York, and that photograph, you know, I wish I could have printed it and had you sign it, because you're a hero in my book.
Well, thank you so much.
You've been all over the news lately. I know you have, Alan. So I really appreciate you coming back to Armed American Radio. I have so much to talk with you about.
Sure.
Since you won that case,
mm-hmm.
What do you see happening next? I've been pretty hard on Chicago residents. I personally believe, Alan, that Chicago residents now have a responsibility and an obligation, because in my book, freedom comes with responsibility. And a lot of people around the country fought very hard, as you well know, to bring freedom to Chicago and then to get it stabbed right back in their eye again. But am I right? Does responsibility come with freedom?
Responsibility does come with freedom, but we also have to remember that the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, exists to protect things that are freedoms that are unpopular, things that the majority of your neighbors may not agree with. You have a right to defend yourself. You have a right to keep and bear arms, and that right is not really up for discussion in an election. It's not a majority vote situation. So that's what the Constitution is there to do. It's there to protect you when a majority of your neighbors don't see the light in which to take away your freedoms. And so that's what the courts do. They exist to secure those rights and make sure that the government obeys them regardless of whether it prevails in an election. I do hope that as more people in Chicago now enjoy their newfound freedom, their newly restored freedom, that we see a greater constituency for gun rights inside the city of Chicago, and hopefully that eventually translates into some change on the city council and the mayor's office. But until that's done, at least we do have the court's protection. And while the new Chicago law is far from perfect and it has many flaws in it, and I'm sure it's going to be addressed again in court, the new law is still a great deal better than the old law, and I have been contacted by people from Chicago who are thanking me because they're now able to go out and get and use and have available to them firearms, which is something they've not been able to do now for many years. So progress is happening, and onwards and upwards.
Alan, I can't thank you enough on behalf of my listeners for what you've done. I mean, going back to the 2008 Heller case, you know, Dick is a good friend of mine and a good friend of this program, and he's been on it many, many times, and that laid the foundation for where we're at. And I think you hit the nail on the head, and I don't think, based on what I just heard you say, that you would disagree with me, that you said that you're getting a lot of calls now from people that are thanking you, right?
That's right.
Okay. Isn't that negated if they go out and pull that lever for Daley again?
Sure, and hopefully they won't do that, and we'll see. But it's now what we're going to see is a gradual process where people in Chicago now know they have options. They know that if they want to take advantage of the Second Amendment rights, they can do so. It's still a little bit too bureaucratic. It's still a little bit too expensive. We're working on that. But at least more people are now able to get that little taste of freedom, and they get to experience firsthand what it's like to actually be secure in their homes, to know that if the bad guys show up and the police aren't around, at least they have a fighting chance. And I think as that enters the calculation in people's minds, they'll vote differently. And I hope that we will see the politicians in Chicago respond to what their constituents want to do. As more and more constituents become familiar with firearms and go ahead and take advantage of their freedom.
I agree with you, and I hope you're right. I really hope you're right. I mean, it is frustrating for me. I have been tough on Chicago residents, but, you know, I think that I think they have that obligation to the rest of us. And I say us because I was involved fighting for it. I'm a member of the organization that wrote one of the briefs that was mentioned in the decision. And, you know, they have an obligation to the rest of America to rid us of this regime, if you will, in Chicago. Okay, moving forward, we've got a phone call from Dan in Utah who's got appears to be a great question for you. Dan in Utah, welcome to Armed American Radio. You have a question for Alan Gura. Go right ahead, my friend.
Yes, I got a question. I was wondering, at what point will the Supreme Court just say, hey, there's enough of this. We've decided this issue. Let's move on. When are they going to stop hearing these cases?
That's a great question. Alan, what do you think?
That's a great question, and the answer is they'll never stop hearing these cases, just like they'll never stop hearing First Amendment cases, they'll never stop hearing Fourth Amendment cases, nor should they. We don't live in the kind of legal system where you can make one decision that answers all the questions for all time. The courts are open for business 24/365 a year, and as more and more people try to exercise their rights and come into different situations with their authorities, you're going to see more cases arise. And that's been the case for all of our freedoms. And we also have to remember that there's no part of the Constitution that the Supreme Court has gotten perfectly. I don't think anybody, regardless of their political views, thinks that everything the Supreme Court has ever said about the First Amendment is correct. And so we have to brace ourselves that, you know, they may not get everything right going forward, but the nice thing is that we're at least winning the big ones early, and that's what's important. If we can win enough of the big cases, enough of the more important cases early on and set the tone, then we're going to restore as much of this right as possible. We're not going to get a utopian vision. We don't have that in our society, but we're going to do pretty well, and already we're doing very, very well.
Alan, I think the bigger picture, and Dan, great question. I've thought that myself. At what point in time, you know, will the justices say, God, haven't we already handled this? Sean, you're laughing.
Mm. It is a great question.
But it is a good question. But, Alan, tell me if you agree with me or not. The bigger picture is not really when the courts will stop hearing it, but when will this stuff, when will the folks finally get it through their heads? You know what? This is a lost cause.
That's true. And I think they're starting to get that. I mean, they're learning very slowly. What I've said many times before is that the anti-gun forces are now going through the grieving process. You know, they're still in denial. They're still angry. They're still bargaining with the result. They've yet to reach the acceptance stage of the grieving process that their cause is finished and done with in America. But they'll get there at some point, and we're going to help them with that by going back to court and challenging more of these laws, and so we can restore freedom to the point where it simply doesn't make much sense for them to keep going, or to at least keep going in some of the more crazy directions. In fact, we've already seen that in Chicago. You might remember that in the days leading up to the new law in Chicago, we heard a lot of talk from the mayor about requiring gun owners to have insurance to have a gun. We heard talk about limiting people to one gun per person per house, not just one a month, but you know, you can't own more than one gun.
Hey, Alan, I need you to hold on for 1 second. That AC/DC means we've got to take a break, but I want you to continue that thought, because I also want to tie that into a couple new cases I'm looking at here that are popping up right now. Ladies and gentlemen, you're on the Armed American Radio Network, and we will be right back with Alan Gura, the lead attorney of McDonald versus Chicago, right after these messages.
Do you owe back taxes to the IRS that you can't afford to pay? Or are you stuck in a tax payment plan that is getting you nowhere? The IRS is now taking very aggressive actions, such as bank levies and wage garnishments. If you owe the IRS at least $15,000, call American Tax Relief. They've helped thousands of people like you eliminate up to 85% of their delinquent taxes. Call 1-800-605-3241. If you qualify, American Tax Relief can settle your debts for less than you owe, remove penalties and interest, and protect you from bank levies and garnishments. As a hardworking American, you do have rights. Call American Tax Relief for a free consultation and see how much money they can save you. Call 1-800-605-3241. If you qualify, you can save up to 85% on the taxes you owe. Call right now. 1-800-605-3241. That's 1-800-605-3241.
Well known for high-quality handmade leather holsters, Galco Gun Leather now offers a product line made of virtually maintenance-free kydex. Check out the Triton inside the waistband holster. The Triton by Galco is fast, thin, and easy to conceal. The belt clip offers quick on and off capability, while the sweat guard protects both the gun and the gun carrier. If you're a fan of kydex holsters and require deep inside the waistband concealment, the Galco Triton line is for you. Galco, for those who demand the best and know the difference. To order online, visit GalcoGunLeather.com.
One shot, one kill. That's Extreme Shock, the world's most advanced ammunition. For self-defense or hunting, there is no equal. Engineered to inflict maximum damage on its target, Extreme Shock's composite bullets fragment on impact, delivering devastating stopping power and carving catastrophic wounds. We've got the photos, videos, and testimonials to prove it. Find a dealer or order now at ExtremeShockUSA.net.
If you are faced with the decision to pay your mortgage or your credit cards or buy groceries, then this message is for you. The real solution to solving your problem with credit card debt is to reduce the amount you owe to creditors. The less you owe, the more money you will have for more important things in life. Strategic Resources wants to give you information about all your options for free. In a simple 5-minute phone call, you can find out which programs work best for your life now. 800-981-9371. 800-981-9371.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? I'd like you to get to know Visiting Angels. Visiting Angels assists senior citizens and adults to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers will provide your loved ones with assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework. Home care services are provided up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates, and you may select your caregiver before service begins. Visiting Angels has become America's choice in home care, with 300 franchised locations across the nation. Call toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE. To find an office near you, visit www.visitingangels.com. For home care for your loved ones, call Visiting Angels at 877-374-LIVE. That's Visiting Angels, toll free at 877-374-LIVE. L-I-V-E.
This hour of Armed American Radio is proudly being brought to you by the Gun Owners of America, the GOA, the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. Join the Gun Owners of America, folks, at gunowners.org. I did. Welcome back. Welcome back, indeed, to the Armed American Radio Network. I could listen to that music on and on, too. I want to let listeners know that Caleb had to take off, and I really appreciate him taking time out of what was a very busy schedule for him today to join us on Armed American Radio. We'll have him back when we can talk to him, Sean, more about his IDPA. He is a championship shooter and top-notch. And, folks, you know what he probably had to do? He probably had to go watch himself on the History Channel.
Yep, he did, and he's got some folks coming over to watch with him.
Well, I was outshined. I have to admit that I watched myself on the Fox News Channel, and I was outshone. Right?
Yeah, outshone.
We don't want to give the anti-gunners too much more ammunition. Did you hear that gun guy? He doesn't know how to talk. But I was outshone by my guest, Alan Guru, who was brilliant on the program. Alan Guru, welcome back to Armed American Radio.
Thanks so much.
Hey, I got a question for you. This is kind of before we go back into finishing your thought. Wasn't Stossel in real life just like he is on TV?
Oh, he's fantastic. He's a lot of fun.
He was great. Nicest guy in the world, and just the same way he was. Okay, you were talking about the one gun in the home, one gun a month, and all this stuff with Chicago. Can you continue that thought?
Sure, it's very simple. We've already seen Chicago step away from enacting laws that they really badly wanted, but they knew they couldn't get away with them. And so already we've seen the impact of this opinion, and we're going to see this again. It's hard to see what doesn't happen. But believe me, there are going to be laws that do not become enacted because a lot of cities aren't going to want to fight. And they know they can't get away with it or it's not worth the hassle. And so already we're seeing at least that sort of preemptive effect take hold, and we're seeing it in Chicago.
Okay, now I believe that Daley is going to be the cause for – I think some of the other cities, I think, are just going to let Daley handle this. Is that kind of where you're going there? They're going to back off and watch what happens with Chicago's impending cases?
Not even before we won the case. On the first day, the second day that this case was alive, we saw a bunch of the cities around Chicago cave in
and
repeal their handgun bans because they didn't feel like spending 2 years in court and then losing it to the Supreme Court. So they stepped off the choo-choo early.
Now, what about a situation like Daley says, you know, in the 45-0 alderman decision on the city council, the leg-breaking thing, you know, there's a bunch of crooks up there, and he enacts a law, his new regulations, I should say, which he's very proud are the most restrictive in the nation. And one of those regulations, one of the requirements is that you have to have training, but you have to have range training of X amount of hours. But in the same breath, he's outlawed ranges within the city limits of Chicago. Isn't that akin to saying, you can read anything you want, pal, but libraries are outlawed?
Exactly like that. That's a great analogy. But it's even worse because what he's doing is he's conceding that ranges are important, that it's a good idea for public safety that gun owners go out to the range and are familiar and practice with their guns. It's also a good idea for people who are entering shooting to try out different guns. You know, not every gun is right for every single person. And
right.
So how do you find out? You go, you try it out, you see what works for you and what doesn't. And that's what makes people safer. Obviously, gun owners with more range time are safer than gun owners who don't have range time. So he's conceding that, but he's outlawing ranges. That doesn't make any sense. And I suspect the courts are going to take a very close look at that law. I don't think it's going to survive.
Benson versus Chicago. What's going on with this?
Well, Benson versus Chicago is a lawsuit that was filed a couple days ago. It was the first post-McDonald lawsuit that attacks a variety of the different laws that Chicago enacted. It doesn't attack all of them. I suppose that there might be other cases that attack different parts of things. And it really is a sort of a broad-based attack on all kinds of goodies in there. And obviously we wish them the best, and hopefully they'll make some progress with that.
I love that. Did you hear that, Sean? All kinds of goodies in there?
Yes, I did.
Man, oh man, I'm telling you. You know what I think is important at a local level? And we talk about other cities and, you know, throwing this incrementalism, Alan, at us. And I think McDonald is going to do a lot to stop that because you're right, no question about it. There's going to be a lot of municipalities around the country that just throw their hands up and say, you know what, this is a lost cause. I'm no longer going to waste my constituents' tax dollars fighting this, hopefully. Chicago, that's a different story. And, you know, we'll reserve that for another day. But Attorney John Monroe from GeorgiaCarry.org, friend of mine, he's been in the studio a number of times.
Good guy.
Yeah, you know John, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And he just wrote a letter that I would like to read to the Deputy Chief Diane Luce, Support Services Division, the DeKalb County, Georgia Police Department in Tucker. Dear Deputy Chief, I am writing you on behalf of my clients, GeorgiaCarry.org, and its members regarding your department's division's portion of the Georgia Weapons Carry License application process. And it goes on to talk about them being in violation of the 30 days. He says, as I'm sure you're aware, the law requires enforcement agency to report to the probate judge within 30 days after being directed to conduct the background investigation. I understand, however, that your department requires an appointment for fingerprinting and that obtaining the appointment commonly takes 30 days or more. In addition, despite the fact that the GCIC routinely returns live scan results the same day, your department commonly takes longer than 30 days to return a report on the probate to the probate judge after the live scan prints have been submitted. In short, your department routinely fails to meet the requirements. I am preparing to commence such an action against you to require you to comply with the statutes. You see, this is the type of activity that needs to go on, Alan, all across the country.
Oh, sure, absolutely. The important thing for your listeners to understand is that the courts don't move at internet speed. Things take time. The McDonald's v. Chicago lawsuit was extremely fast in terms of how lawsuits go. It took 2 years from the day we filed it to the day it ended in the Supreme Court. So that's not normal. It usually can take longer. And I know people want results yesterday. And believe me, I know that I'm working very hard, and a lot of other attorneys like John Monroe and others are working very hard. And we're going to see progress. But, you know, incrementalism works both ways, and we are going to see progress. It's not going to be overnight, but you're going to see a steady stream of victories out predict over the next few years. And sooner or later, we're going to have a lot more freedom in this country.
Yeah, I agree with you. And you're right. That's a good point. Incrementalism does work both ways. It is a double-edged sword. And like me, you know, this is real life. People say, man, oh, man, you know, I'm 55. I want to live to see this stuff. You know, I'm 65. I want to live to see this. I'm 75. Otis McDonald, 76 years old, Alan? Fighting for everybody in Chicago at 76 years old. Dick Heller has spent the last 15 to 20 years of his life fighting for this. You know, and he mentioned that on the air last year, Sean, with us.
Yep.
And he said, you know, it just dawned on Dane and I when we were talking about this today that we've spent the last decade and a half on this, Alan.
Sure.
And, you know.
The nice thing, though, is things are speeding up a little bit. Obviously, I mean, Heller was in 2008. McDonald's was 2 years later, and now we're going to start seeing the dominoes fall, hopefully somewhat quicker. But it's important that people understand that the legal process in our country is not super-duper fast. At least it exists. You know, at least we have the right to go to court and assert our rights and have a judge enforce our rights against our government. That's very important. But it's not overnight, and the battle will keep going, and we'll keep fighting.
I have two questions for you that I know I've gotten a lot of feedback from listeners on in anticipation of you coming in to Armed American Radio today, but I'm not going to have time to ask them before we take our next break, so I'll put them off. I'll say that one of them has to do with what is going to be the lame duck session of Congress after November, number one, and what we expect there. And the other one I'm not even going to have time to ask right now. So stick around, ladies and gentlemen. You're on the Armed American Radio Network. We're going to get some fascinating answers to some good questions for a brilliant attorney by the name of Alan Gura, who has won two U.S. Supreme Court cases regarding the Second Amendment in our favor. We'll be right back.
Visit the United States Concealed Carry Association online at usconcealedcarry.com. Formed in 2003 by Mr. Timothy J. Schmidt, the USCCA is the nation's ultimate resource for the armed citizen. Now boasting tens of thousands of members in all 50 states, the USCCA has become America's leading source of information for the law-abiding citizen who has chosen to arm themselves. Your membership to the USCCA will include a subscription to the association's flagship publication, Concealed Carry Magazine. Mailed to all members 8 times annually, Concealed Carry Magazine has become America's most important single source of information for those who choose to live the armed lifestyle. Each issue is packed with the information you need, including unbiased product reviews, gun safety tips, training techniques, and informative columns written by some of the most knowledgeable authors in the field of personal defense. Become a member of the USCCA today online at usconcealedcarry.com. Join the thousands of Americans who have made the same decision you have. Join today.
With consumers still looking to save money wherever they can, getting the most out of their cars continues to be very important. Jody DeVere, president of Women's Automotive Association International, knows that using quality products in your car today can help save money in the long run.
Motor oil is called the lifeblood of your car's engine and one of the most important ways you can protect your investment. But all motor oils are not the same.
DeVere recommends asking for a high-quality oil by name because Pennzoil and Quaker State, for example, invest heavily in comprehensive product testing and are formulated to meet the demands of today's engines.
Don't leave the oil choice to the person behind the counter, because using a high-quality motor oil in the right grade can help maximize fuel economy, minimize emissions, and help save money by preventing costly engine damage.
For more information about the importance of high-quality motor oil, visit motoroilmatters.org. I'm Ron Javers.
Imagine all your important files are on your office computer, which is usually the case. So to work from home or while traveling, you have to copy files to CDs or to a flash drive or email files to yourself or sync up to your laptop. Whatever it is, it's a hassle, and half the time we forget to do it. So there's an answer. It's the answer I've been using for years. GoToMyPC. Use GoToMyPC to remotely access your office Mac or PC from any other computer on Earth. Simply log on to GoToMyPC.com and you'll have instant access to your Mac or PC. I had the computer of my home in front of me in Africa, thanks to GoToMyPC. It's easy to set up, easy to use, and as secure as online banking. If you or your employer don't have a web-based remote access service, now's the time. I want you to try GoToMyPC free today. I have a special 45-day free trial for my listeners if you use the promo code Prager. Visit GoToMyPC.com, click on the Try It Free button. Remember to use the promo code Prager.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? I'd like you to get to know Visiting Angels. Visiting Angels assists senior citizens and adults to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers will provide your loved ones with assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework. Home care services are provided up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates, and you may select your caregiver before service begins. Visiting Angels has become America's choice in home care with 300 franchised locations across the nation. Call toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE. To find an office near you, visit www.visitingangels.com. For home care for your loved ones, call Visiting Angels at 877-374-LIVE. That's Visiting Angels, toll-free at 877-374-LIVE. L-I-V-E.
Hi, this is Bill Bennett, and I'm filling my prescription for freedom on Armed American Radio with Mark Walters.
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it. We're getting emails like crazy, Sean.
Really?
Yeah, they're coming in like crazy.
Well, I'm
I had
sure.
a couple of them that said, I don't want to call. I'm really enjoying listening to Alan. He's making me feel better about the direction that we're heading, because, you know, we see this stuff on the news. We get bombarded with just negative crap all day long. And you think, man, oh, man, it's all bad. It's all bad. The Supreme Court's going to overturn the decision. And then you hear the level-headedness of the attorney who argued the case.
Yes.
So we will ask him about that. But before I do, let me read a fast email here, because a couple of them have asked. One of them came in from, and this is from, question for Mr. Gura. This is from Jeff in Norfolk, Virginia. Mark, can you pass along the following question to Alan? Does the recent Supreme Court decision only make it possible to keep a firearm in the home? What about carrying it anywhere I go? Look forward to his answer. That's Jeff in Norfolk, Virginia. Alan, I can answer that, but he addressed it to you, and I think people want to hear what you have to say about that.
The other side is claiming that these decisions are limited to the home simply because those are the circumstances that we litigated. And in fact, the home is a place where you're going to have greater protection for any of your rights. However, if you read the Heller decision, if you read the McDonald decision, there's a great deal of language about what bearing arms means. And bearing arms means carrying them out in public. Heller is full of language like this, and we contend that I'm litigating a number of cases trying to vindicate the right to take your gun with you where you go, wherever you need the need for self-defense.
Okay, well, that kind of dovetails into this. Chicago, Jeff, say that Chicago is saying just what Alan said right now. At Daley's new ordinance, I should say, says that you can have one gun operable in the home, right, Alan?
Mm-hmm.
And you can be arrested and fined if that gun leaves the home and goes out on your porch, your garage,
what?
Or your yard. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Whoa, you can read the Chicago ordinance.
Good luck. I mean, you know, first of all, even if the right to keep and bear arms was limited to the home, and it's not, but even if it was, then, you know, even in Washington, D.C., you can, you know, they allow you to have it on your possessed land. And usually states realize that the area around your home, your yard, your garage, your porch, I mean, that's still where you live. You don't have to lose your constitutional rights there. But, of course, you know, the right to keep and bear arms is the right to have guns for self-defense. That extends beyond the home. Heller is just chock full of language like this. I mean, for example, Heller told us that, of course, you can ban guns from sensitive places. And nobody would disagree with that in the abstract. You're not going to be allowed to stick a gun onto an airplane if you're going to fly somewhere. Okay, but if you can ban guns from sensitive places, that must mean you're allowed to have them in non-sensitive places, right?
Right.
And there's a lot of discussion like that. And, of course, the term bear arms was defined in Heller as to carry guns. You know, the case was litigated by D.C. in such a way that the court was forced to say that, and they did, and that is the law, and Mayor Daley proceeds at his own risk.
All right, Chris, I love that. Did you catch that, ladies and gentlemen? Mayor Daley proceeds at his own risk.
Yeah, his own risk for losing and having to pay fees and costs.
He's going to lose. Okay, yeah, he's right. Listen to what he's saying. Daley is wasting your money, folks. He's wasting your money. Get him out. Chris Schindler says, do they limit people to one fire extinguisher per home, Al? And I'd say a fire extinguisher can defend your life, too.
That's right. The fire extinguisher can defend your life, too. Again, that's something that's being explored in court. We'll see if that holds up. I'm somewhat, you know, skeptical that they can limit the number of guns you have. But, you know, we'll see. I mean, that's great. This is what the courts exist to resolve these questions. And you know, I think it's very creative. But you know what? It beats what we used to have. I mean, let's think about the progress. I mean, used to be you couldn't have any operable guns in your house, at least in Washington, D.C., and many places have so-called safe storage laws that seem to ban self-defense. And, again, Chicago recognized that, gosh, no matter what, that you got to have at least, you know, one gun that works.
Yeah, so this is the beginning of the end of this, I think, ladies and gentlemen. Now, what time frame, like Alan says, you know, remains to be seen. At some point, I'm hopeful. I have faith. I really do, Sean. I have faith in the people of Chicago ridding themselves of the disease. I have faith that people are going to step up for what's right, and I think Alan is right that this is the door opener to that.
I think you're correct.
How do you put the gun in your mm-hmm. house and enjoy your freedom and pull the lever? You know, maybe it's going to backfire. Maybe it's going to say, the Supreme Court's already told him he can't do that, so I'll vote for him again anyway. You never know. Here's one for you, Alan. Daley's press release on the 2nd from the mayor's office is titled, Mayor Daley says the city's new ordinance addresses Supreme Court ruling, and get this, protects Second Amendment rights and maintains commitment to fight gun violence. Protects Second Amendment rights. He's been dismantling and thumbing his nose at Second Amendment rights for his entire career, yet he puts this in the press release. Does that mean what, that he gets it now?
I don't know. I think he's going to make these platitudes that he, you know, loves the Constitution and respects the law. And, you know, you wouldn't expect a politician to say anything else. I mean, he's not going to tell you that he hates the Bill of Rights, even though he probably does.
Yeah, actions speak a lot louder than words, man. And you know, I haven't seen anything that shows me otherwise. It's crazy. But when you look at statistics like this, I don't know if you've seen this. You probably haven't. I found this today. It's from Angus Reid Public Opinion, and it talks about it's a U.S. public opinion poll, and the first question is, the Second Amendment of the U.S. Constitution reads, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. For you personally, what does the Second Amendment mean? And listen to these answers. Number one people could check these off, that individuals have the right to keep and bear arms. 81% of Americans agreed with that. Now, get this. This is what fascinated me. they broke it down by region. 78% in the Northeast agreed with that.
Wow.
83% in the Midwest. We would not find that unusual. The South, 83%. South, I'm disappointed in you. That should have been a minimum of 95%. And out west of all places, 77%.
Wow.
The second answer was that individuals do not have the right to keep and bear arms. Only 9% agreed with that statement. 12% in the Northeast, 12% in the West, surprising. 9 and 6 in the Midwest and South, respectively. And then not sure. I love this. 10% total not sure. I don't know who's not sure.
Were those grade school children that took that part of the test?
No, I'd have to look at the mathematics and the statistics behind it, but it was really fascinating when you look at all these. Alan, does that surprise you at all when you see stuff like this? And this is about a 10 to 15 question public opinion.
Well, I think it's surprisingly good considering the level of public education in our country has been so dismal lately.
Absolutely.
Isn't that the truth?
Yep.
If you ask people other questions that they really should know the answer to,
right.
Sometimes you don't even get numbers that good. So, you know, I think it's great. I mean, you know, when something is supported by 77%, 83% of the people, that's, you know, I don't know if you can do even much better than that in America. I mean, you know, we have a lot of different opinions in this country, but that shows a broad-based consensus for the right. It shows that it cuts across all kinds of regional differences and places. Those are pretty healthy numbers, actually, and hopefully we're going to make them healthier as we dismantle the prohibitions in places where they shouldn't exist and more people actually get to experience this freedom. I think you might even see those numbers get higher.
Yeah, I agree. And thanks to, you know, help from you.
Well,
you know, amazing. The lame duck session, November, after the elections, it's widely recognized that the Dems are going to get spanked pretty good. Regardless of those outcomes, you're going to have a lame duck. You're going to have a number of senators. Here we go with 30 seconds left. So I'll ask the question, and then when we come back for the final segment, we'll get your response. What I'd like to know is there's been some rumblings that the Democrats, after having gotten spanked pretty good in November, are going to come back into a lame duck session prior to the swearing in of the new Congress and just try to wrestle through anything they can get through against the will of the people, as they've shown with a number of other bills. And some gun prohibitions may be on that list concerning assault weapons. And that was also addressed in a question in a debate with you and Hennigan on the Stossel Show. We'll talk about it when we come back with Alan Gura. We'll be right back, folks.
Who's watching your home when you're not there? It could be a burglar. Burglars prefer to break in when they think no one is home and no one will stop them. Don't be an easy target for intruders. Protect your home with a free security system monitored by ADT, the leader in home security. Pick up your phone now and get free hardware, free medical and fire alert, and free activation. It's an $850 value. Just call Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer, at 1-866-412-7799. You'll get 24-hour protection, and there's no cost for parts or activation. Call now about a free security system monitored by ADT. Call 1-866-412-7799. $99 installation charge, 36-month monitoring agreement at $35.99 per month. Call for terms and conditions to this offer and protect your home license numbers. Call now, 1-866-412-7799. That's 1-866-412-7799.
Visit the United States Concealed Carry Association online at usconcealedcarry.com. Formed in 2003 by Mr. Timothy J. Schmidt, the USCCA is the nation's ultimate resource for the armed citizen. Now boasting tens of thousands of members in all 50 states, the USCCA has become America's leading source of information for the law-abiding citizen who has chosen to arm themselves. Your membership to the USCCA will include a subscription to the association's flagship publication, Concealed Carry Magazine. Mailed to all members 8 times annually, Concealed Carry Magazine has become America's most important single source of information for those who choose to live the armed lifestyle. Each issue is packed with the information you need, including unbiased product reviews, gun safety tips, training techniques, and informative columns written by some of the most knowledgeable authors in the field of personal defense. Become a member of the USCCA today online at usconcealedcarry.com. Join the thousands of Americans who have made the same decision you have. Join today.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? I'd like you to get to know Visiting Angels. Visiting Angels assists senior citizens and adults to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers will provide your loved ones with assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework. Home care services are provided up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates, and you may select your caregiver before service begins. Visiting Angels has become America's choice in home care with 300 franchised locations across the nation. Call toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE. To find an office near you, visit www.visitingangels.com. For home care for your loved ones, call Visiting Angels at 877-374-LIVE. That's Visiting Angels, toll-free at 877-374-LIVE. L-I-V-E.
Deep concealment and amazing affordability combine in Galco's new Tuck and Go Inside the Waistband Holsters. The Tuck and Go's open top allows for a fast draw, while the holster's reinforced mouth allows for smooth and easy reholstering. Available for over 35 models of handguns, the Galco Tuck and Go combines amazing affordability with the quality you expect from Galco Gun Leather. Galco, for those who demand the best and know the difference. To order online, please visit galcogunleather.com.
Hi, I'm Mike Gallagher, and I'm filling my prescription for freedom on Armed American Radio with Mark Walters.
I absolutely love that. Check this out, ladies and gentlemen. New listeners. Hi, Mark. This is Keith from Detroit, and we here at Diamond Ridgeway's CCW headquarters here in the heart of Detroit want to express our support for you and your show in defending our nation's Second Amendment rights. Keep up the good work and stressing safe, responsible, and legal firearms ownership and training. Keith, we will do it. Thank you very much for listening in the Motor City, baby. Yeah, we're talking to you on WDTK in Detroit, Michigan. You got to love that. And because we're at the last segment with Alan Gura, I want to get right to it. Let's give a phone number out if you want to talk with Alan. 877-956-9566. 877-956-9566. Or email your question to him at mark@armedamericanradio.org. mark@armedamericanradio.org. Or tweet it. Twitter.com/AARMark, and we'll get it right to him on the airwaves and let the whole country hear his response. Alan, welcome back. I'm glad you're with us.
Thanks. Thanks for having me again.
No problem. Anytime. Listen, you're welcome back at any time, especially after you win another one and another one and another one, which you're going to do. We haven't seen the last of you.
I hope not.
No, this is just the beginning, folks. This is just the beginning. Alan, I asked a question about the lame duck session coming up in November. A lot of folks are concerned about Congress just ramming through a bunch of garbage. You know, they're talking about cap and trade and the union stuff, you know, the card and all this election garbage. And there's some rumblings about, you know, and there's always the fear that the Democrats are going to try to backdoor some gun legislation in there. You know, Feinstein has made it very clear, I'll pick the time and the place. This kind of thing. And before the new Congress is sworn in, regardless of the outcome of the election, is this something that you think they would even waste their time with in the wake of the McDonald decision? Of course, they're going to focus on evil black guns. But do you think they'll do it?
I don't think they'll do that. I think there are enough Democrats who want to come back and don't want to on their voting record. I think Obama wants to run for re-election, in 2012, and he's not probably looking forward to signing, you know, massively controversial gun legislation. So I don't think that they're going to have some large marquee piece of legislation. I think that the way we're going to have our gun rights attacked these days is through the regulatory process. You know, the president has vast regulatory authority over various departments, and I think you always need to look out for ATF regs coming out. You always need to look out for just different ways that the DOJ interprets the gun laws. You have to be careful of foreign treaties that we may or may not be endorsing that might set the tone for things that later will come back. So we really, there are many other avenues for the gun grabbers to operate in. I don't think you're going to see a big headline piece of legislation necessarily go through.
Great response. I feel a little bit better about that myself. Now, that brings up this question. How do the courts address these regulatory issues? For example, we're seeing a lot of this right now with the EPA. And there has been, you know, obviously the Obama administration and Hillary Clinton herself have expressed support for the UN gun ban treaty. How do we do this? Look, Congress is powerless on their recess with the recess appointments. How do the courts address these issues?
Well, the Constitution and its Bill of Rights are the highest law of the land, and so, you know, whenever somebody is aggrieved by an unconstitutional piece of behavior from the government, regardless of how it originates, the courts can intervene, and so we just need to be diligent. And regardless of where the violations come from, we need to be able to take them into the court and fight them.
Do you think these type of infringements or encroachments, for example, maybe from DOJ or ATF, are coming from the White House?
I have no way of knowing. I mean, it's just something that I think if something is coming, it's not going to be an in-your-face, high-profile sort of movement. I don't think that they're looking for that. And so if there are going to be any restrictions, they're going to be something that's a little less visible. And so that's where I would pay attention more than, you know, I don't think that Congress is going to rush in a lame duck session, for example, to reenact an assault weapons ban or things of that nature. But you always have to look after the regulators.
There you go, folks. You heard it from Alan Gura, the attorney in the McDonald case. Now, as we get ready to wind down this final segment, Alan, I want to leave you with this and let you take the answer all the way to the end. Kagan and the 5-4 decision in both Heller and McDonald are frightening to a lot of people. They're frightening to me because there's four justices. Now, I told you on this show, and we laughed about it in New York at the Stossel show, that you said, hey, it wasn't 9-0 like I called for. You know, I was trying to keep faith alive, you know.
Sure.
But I did expect, quite frankly, to see a 6-3. That if I had to put my money on, that's what Sotomayor, as much as I hate to admit this, but she surprised me. I thought from reading her line of questioning, and I asked you in our last discussion on Armed American Radio, and you said, I don't want to read too much into the line of questioning. Me, I'm the rookie. I did. I thought it would be a 6-3 decision, but 5-4 is frightening. You just answered a question about the court's going to continue to address this. And now we've got Kagan coming in, and I know she's not going to tip the balance today, but a 5-4 decision and somebody like Kagan coming in, what does this mean for our, could this all be overturned next year?
In theory, it can, if we lose one of the five. I don't think that's going to happen, simply because these cases, McDonald and Heller, are so well-reasoned, and they're so obviously correct. And also, they really comport very well with those 77%, 83%, whatever numbers you've chosen. The Supreme Court usually does not reverse itself in such a dramatic fashion against the overwhelming weight of the popular culture. So I don't think that those decisions are necessarily in themselves jeopardy of being overturned right away. However, what we do need to be careful of is, of course, how they're going to be applied, how they're going to be interpreted, how they're going to be extended or not, because you can see future courts that are hostile to the Second Amendment that read those cases narrowly and make exceptions and excuses. And so we need to keep winning the important foundational cases. There are still a few left. And also, it's great that the public is paying attention to Kagan and what happens in the Supreme Court. But remember, most of the work of the federal courts is not done by the Supreme Court. It's done by many, many, many lower court judges at the district court level on the Court of Appeals, with whom most Americans are totally unfamiliar. But the process is the same. They're nominated by the president. They're confirmed by the Senate. And elections matter. If you vote for people who wind up installing judges that don't respect your constitutional rights, you will regret that. And you will regret it in a million different ways before you see a big headline coming out of the Supreme Court.
Oh, man. Sean?
Yes, sir.
You see, that's what's so scary, because he's so right.
Yep.
It's these judges at the lower level courts that make these decisions. Look, Alan, we see what comes out of the Ninth Circuit. You know, they're what, the most overturned circuit court?
Yeah, but let's be fair. The Ninth Circuit was the only court in the country that actually found that the Second Amendment applies.
That isn't that ironic. You're absolutely right. They did find that, and that was, boy, I was shocked when I saw that. But,
yeah, I mean, the en banc panel, they have a unique procedure in that circuit. It's a little bit different than the other courts of appeals. But in any event, we're going to see another big opinion coming out of the Ninth Circuit. The so-called full panel opinion, the en banc opinion in the Nordy case, is going to come out probably sometime towards the end of the year. It's just a guess, just because it's been a while since it was argued, and they were waiting for McDonald's. So we're going to get more news out of the Ninth Circuit. We'll see what happens there. My good friend, excellent lawyer Don Kilmer, is litigating that case. And of course, we're going to be back in the Ninth Circuit with other cases, because California has some gun laws that need to be looked at.
Oh, they certainly do. Alan Gura, lead attorney in the McDonald versus Chicago case, thank you so much for coming back to Armed American Radio. You better believe it. It's a pleasure, and we'll talk to you soon. Sean, that is, wow. You know, to have Otis McDonald on from Washington, D.C., live on the eve of his historic decision, Sean.
Yep.
And then to have Alan Gura on to talk about it. We would have liked to have had him last week, but that's okay. Hey, listen, unbelievable stuff. And you heard it right here on Armed American Radio, folks. I feel a little better. I'm feeling better. I always like talking with Alan. You are listening to the Armed American Radio Network, and we'll be back after these messages. Stick around, folks.
You've been listening to Armed American Radio Network with your host, Mark Walters. Armed American Radio, brought to you each week by the United States Concealed Carry Association. To learn more about Armed American Radio, log on to armedamericanradio.org. Here I come again now, baby.
Hello, this is Steve Down, author of Financially Fit for Life. Several years ago, following a business failure, I found myself in more than $1 million in personal debt. The very thought of bankruptcy put me into despair. But then I realized that if I had the ability to get $1 million in debt, that same ability could get me out of debt. I then put together a plan to pay off my debt within 5 years without filing bankruptcy. I made an amazing discovery. The plan that would pay off my debt in 5 years was the same plan that could retire me in 5 years. But you don't have to take my word for it, because I'm willing to send you my free CD that has proven to thousands how they could do the same, debt-free and financially free, all within 5 years. I know you too can do the same. Because it's free, you have nothing to lose but your debt, and you have a lifetime of financial health and wealth to gain. Call now for your free CD at 888-7-WAKE-UP. That's 888-7-WAKE-UP. 888-792-5387.
This year, most of the U.S. had the kind of weather that would make a polar bear call in an order for a Snuggie. Hi, how in the world are you anyway? I'm Andy Willoughby with the 3-Step Plan Home Business System. If you were working from home with the 3-Step Plan, you wouldn't have to fight the snow or traffic. You wouldn't have to worry about what to do with the kids on snow days. The 3-Step Plan could make it possible for you to work from the comfort of your home and earn as much or even more than you do sliding around on the pavement going to work for somebody else. Most people build a home business with the 3-Step Plan on a part-time basis. But many do develop a business that earns more than they did working at a job. Can you picture yourself beside the fireplace with a telephone and a computer working your own business? To find out how you can make more money working from home, go to 3stepplan.com or call 800-895-6545. 800-895-6545.